we're talking about what happens to the luxury homes owned by baby boomers once they need to downsize. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Baby boomers own 32 million homes and account for 2 out of 5 homeowners in our country. But with thousands of boomers winding down their years in the workforce, this question is, who will buy these massive homes? Gen Xers aren't exactly putting in offers. Are you part of the baby boomer generation? Did you build or buy a dream home, but then later had trouble selling it? Or did you hold off on selling your home during the recession in hopes the market would pick back up? Did you take a hit? We're at 800-642-1234. David Clark is a Marquette University economist. He's also served as a consultant to the Wisconsin Realtors Association for almost 20 years. Dave, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, it's good to be with you.
So the U.S. Census Bureau says aging baby boomers will trigger this exodus of older homeowners. How does this age group compare to Gen Xers and millennials when you look at the real estate market?
Well, in terms of the size of the baby boom population, they are right in at about 76 million people. The Gen Xers are at about 82 million, and the Gen Ys are about 73 million. So these are three relatively equally sized cohorts. You know, the baby boomers are getting to that stage of life. They're starting to move into that stage of life where the housing transitions start taking place as a result of health considerations, and so when they get to the point where they need to sell those homes, they're going to be looking for individuals or households trying to trade up. Unfortunately, a lot of the Gen Xers are kind of at that stage in life where their housing situations are set. It's not as though they wouldn't move up if they could. Their problem is the millennials, the Gen Ys, really have not jumped into this market in any substantial way. So the baby boomers find themselves in situations, especially those with more expensive homes, where there's lots of homes for sale, but not a lot of buyers.
So these baby boomers building their dream homes back in the day, maybe 10, 20 years ago, why did that happen? Is there this tendency to buy bigger homes if you can afford them?
I think one of the if we look back 15, 20 years, if we look at mortgage rates were relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
Housing values had continually gone up, and so I think a lot of them looked at this situation and said, well, this is a good financial investment. That is, real estate has been rising in value for a long time. We'll continue to accumulate wealth by building this larger home, and then we can sell it when we get to that stage in life where we need to downsize and get a relatively strong kind of return on our investment. The problem, of course, that they didn't anticipate was the financial crisis in the latter part of the 2000 decade, and real estate lost value, and in some areas it lost a lot of value. Wisconsin, if we look at the peak to trough movement, once you control for the quality of the home, we lost about between 16% and 17% of that value from peak to trough. But there are parts of the country that there was significant declines. The four states that are typically noted in terms of the biggest peak to trough decline was California, Arizona, Nevada, and Florida. And those were places where they lost between 40% and 50% of the value from peak to trough.
Right. We still remember those images of Las Vegas.
And the foreclosures spiked.
Right.
And so you had all kinds of downward pressure on home prices. You know, and millennials kind of sat on the sidelines as they moved into that stage of life where they normally would have bought homes. And that was a rational thing to do. Number one, their financial circumstances weren't particularly favorable. You know, they were graduating from college. Those who went and got a college degree were graduating from college at exactly the wrong time. You know, the national unemployment rate peaked at just over 10%. They had relatively significant college debt, and so some of them simply weren't in a position to buy a home even as they got into their late 20s, early 30s, that time when people typically will buy homes. But even if they had the means to buy a home, why would you buy an asset that was still dropping in value? And prices really continued to drop until the early part of 2012, and then they started moving up, and they have essentially moved up from that point forward.
We're talking about the luxury home market. Who will buy homes owned by baby boomers? David Clark is a Marquette University economist. He's a consultant to the Wisconsin Realtors Association. Are you currently trying to sell your home? Have you been forced to make adjustments in price? Where are you in the selling process? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Ed from West Allis. Hi, Ed.
Well, I think when you talk about we being baby boomers, you have to remember what happened to us. We were the generation that got automated, that had Reaganomics, that had our plants under Mr. Reagan demolished, closed, and moved overseas. So those of us, if we had a home, had to work 2 to 3 jobs, and our spouses had to work a job also in order to maintain it. And then what happened was Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney in 2007 and 2008, when all the value in the house, the equity, we call it, was lost. Lost within a matter of 12 to 14 days.
Ed, I want David to jump in here because, you know, there is a lot of political history, too, that impacts the housing market.
There certainly is, and certainly public policy can play a role. Low mortgage rates are things that increase affordability. But, you know, we certainly went through a relatively long stretch where prices were rising at some relatively rapid rates. We saw a big run-up in prices between 2003 and 2007. And so that certainly made housing a bit less affordable. You know, those who owned homes were benefiting from the rise in the value of that asset, and those who sold at the right time certainly did well. But there's no doubt that once the housing market turned south, and that was in about 2007, latter part of 2006. Into 2007, 2008, there were people who lost significant portions of their value. Again, Wisconsin certainly did not suffer to the extent that other parts of the country did, and part of that has to do with the fact that, you know, we don't have a lot of speculative buying and selling that's taking place in the Wisconsin market. You don't have a lot of people trying to flip homes. Those types of situations that makes our home values more certainly makes them a bit more stable than other parts of the country. But there's no doubt that we lost value. That's one of the reasons that the Obama administration was trying to trying to stimulate the first-time buyer market. The first-time buyer market is actually a pretty big market when you look at the share of housing. It peaked at around 50% of buyers being first-time buyers, and that was in 2010. Once those first-time buyers started seeing declining values, they kind of pulled back. And so that generates a bit of a ripple effect, and that's one of the things that that affects the upper end of the housing market, and it certainly affects new construction as well.
David,
go ahead.
If you could put some numbers on this for us, price ranges in terms of what buyers are being attracted to and what's staying on the market longer.
Sure. So if you look at the state of Wisconsin, we'll focus on the most recent 12 months, and we'll look at various price ranges and evaluate the inventories associated with those price ranges. So if you want to look at the homes that are moving the quickest, they're those homes that are under $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two categories in that price range. You have those that are under $125,000. There's about 3.6 months of available supply if you look at the last 12 months. So what does that mean? Well, if you look at the average monthly sales over the last 12 months, and you look at the total number of homes that have been on the market, how many months would it take to liquidate that supply?
And we have to pause it right there with Marquette University economist David Clark. You can join in 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this conversation in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. The number of older adults selling their homes will substantially increase over the next couple decades. We're talking about what that means as luxury home sales see the biggest slump in nearly a decade. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Have you downsized your living situation after your kids grew up, moved away? What was it like finding a smaller home opposed to a bigger one? Join in at 800-642-1234. David Clark is our guide. He's a Marquette University economist. David, as we were talking about house prices, we had to cut you short because of the break there.
Sure.
Where you were talking about homes at around the $200,000 mark, but here we are talking about homes that are $500,000 plus. And where do you see some of the differences?
Well, so if you look at those higher priced homes, there's plenty of inventory. There's 10.5 months of inventory. Usually we talk about the 6 month inventory level as being a balanced market. If you're above 6 months, you're in a buyer's market. That is, buyers have the advantage because there's more homes for sale than there are buyers to buy them. If you are below 6 months, then it's a seller's market. The strongest seller's markets are those under 200,000. Really, the 350 to just under 500,000 range is a relatively balanced market. And then you've got 10.5 months of supply when you look at those that are over 500,000 in the state.
Let's jump in here. Let's take a call. Susan in Milwaukee. Susan, hi.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a baby boomer. I actually downsized for other reasons back in 2005, sold a very big, relatively new home, bought a home in the city of Milwaukee. I was teaching for MPS at the time, paid $185,000, which was $10,000 under what it was listed at. That house came back to last year. It was at $149,200, and they took $7,200 off of it this year, which I actually needed in my equity in order to do some improvements and whatnot. I have put $80,000 into that house with improvements and updates, and have had real estate agents actually tell neighbors that homes were worth $10,000 less as soon as you got north of one of the major east-west streets in Milwaukee, which is absurd. And it was like a big real estate company that made that statement. Had people down the street from me put a house on the market. The kids were marketing it as their mom's home. She was going into assisted living.
Susan, do you regret downsizing?
Was what was given as the first offer on the first day. I don't think real estate agents are working for people who have got under $200,000 homes.
Susan, I'm going to cut you short there. David Clark, what do you hear there as Susan downsized it, you know, and then put a lot of money into making improvements on a home that is not seeing equity?
Yeah, you know, that's a difficult situation, obviously. You know, when we buy homes, we look to enhance the values, and it sounds like Susan has made some significant investments. Without knowing exactly where the home is located and what the specific circumstances are in the neighborhood, you know, it's difficult to say what might have caused those values to decline. Certainly, neighborhood characteristics, though, crime rates, those types of things can come into play. You know, there are realtors that specialize in different price ranges of homes. You know, I think the key to finding the right type of realtor is to find someone who really knows your neighborhood and is selling significant numbers of homes in those neighborhoods. You know, the market can face challenges. You need a realtor who certainly knows the neighborhood and has a good network of buyers that they can try to find the right match for. You know, I'm kind of going through the same situation with a parent's home. This is in another state, but they have gotten to that stage of life where selling the home was necessary. And while they took care of the home, you know, things got dated. You know, the value of their home was quite a bit lower than the newer homes in the community. And so we've had to make concessions as we move towards selling that home. So yeah. Anytime you have that, you have a generational shift out of housing, it's not uncommon for those homes to lose some value because the property's gotten, the property may be in good mechanical shape, but stylistically, older homes don't necessarily have all of the amenities
that current
buyers are looking for. So
yeah, and David, I often think about Toll Brothers as a bellwether for the luxury home market, since they're luxury home builders, but they're in the housing starts end of this, and it's different than when you're trying to unload a home that was designed, built to your every specification, and unloading a home that is built to your own needs and whims is probably more difficult than a home that wasn't. Is there anything to that?
Oh, certainly. You know, you have. Yeah, what a realtor has to do is to find the right buyer to move into a particular home, and the more unique the home is, the smaller the pool of buyers who might be interested in buying those homes. You know, the best situation for a seller is to have multiple buyers who are in a bit of a bidding war for the property. That's tougher when you've got a unique property, a property that appeals to a much more narrow range of the buyer population. So, you know, those homes that were built for a specific person in mind the sellers may find it more difficult to sell them when that time comes because the number of potential buyers is lower given the buyer preferences.
Let's bring in Dylan in Milwaukee very quickly. Dylan?
Yes, hey, good morning, guys. So I'm 29 years old and being a young adult right now, I'm moving all over the country for better jobs and whatnot. And my question is that with millennials and whatnot growing, with population growing, within the next 20 years, do you see, like, the real estate game changing? A lot of times most people don't want to play this game with finding a realtor, going to counties that have better land value over property value, and just in general, it just seems to kind of be dying out for the younger culture and as population's growing in the future.
Thanks, Dylan. Very quickly, David Clark, your thoughts.
Well, I think the millennial population, Dylan is in that population. You know, they are moving into owner-occupied housing. Finally, you know, the percentage of those individuals who are homeowners has been inching up over the last 3 to 4 years. You know, the problem that they have is the entry points are pretty tight in terms of inventory. But it will improve. It'll improve because more baby boomers are going to be moving their homes onto the market. The supply will adjust, and that ought to bode well
for millennials.
For millennials, exactly.
David, thanks for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
David Clark is a Marquette University economist, consultant for the Wisconsin Realtors Association. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.